Amen. For the benefit of those that haven't been in on the Sunday evenings that I've been teaching since the beginning of the year, I just want to tell you a little bit about for the benefit of those that haven't been with us on a Sunday night, you know, at the end of last year, I make it a habit, at the end of any year, to just get before God and seek Him and find out what He would like me to share and teach in any opportunity that I get. And I look to God to give me some sort of theme or some sort of message. And this year, God has given me the theme that to preach on greater things for us as a church and as His people over this year. So that's really where I'm coming from in my message today. Does Sister Mary Rose want to give thanks for the offering? Then?
Dear Lord, we offer thanks for the tithes and the offerings that are coming from your feet.
Praise you, Jesus. Amen. And so this theme of greater things, I've just been giving thought to that, meditating upon it, and sharing some things on a Sunday evening about greater things. But I've noticed over the last 6 weeks or so, the same scripture keeps coming up again and again. I hear it mentioned in messages, I read it on Facebook, I see it. And it's this one that's on the screen here from Jeremiah 29 verse 11. You know, this is a beautiful verse. It says here, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, notice what it says here. God knows the thoughts He thinks. You know, God has, one of the other translations, the NIV, puts it like this. He says He knows the plans that He has for us. You know, God has a plan for us. You know, that's a great plan. A great plan. You know, how many of you have had to make plans? You know, we make plans all the time. Maybe it's just working out what we're going to, dinners we're going to serve the children during the week. We go shopping to get the ingredients. You know, we're making plans all the time. But God has a plan for us, and it's a good plan. Now, sometimes our plans don't always come together. You know, we have an idea what we might like, but it falls short. And it doesn't work out the way we would like it. But God's plan for us always comes together. You know, the scripture says this in the Psalms, in Psalm 86. It talks about God. It says, "You are great and do wondrous things." You are a great God and you do wondrous things. You know, God, you are God alone, the psalmist says. You know, He is a great God and He has a great plan for each and every one of us. You know, and that plan is a good plan for us. You know, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about His greatness. I'm not going to look at them this morning. But let's just think this morning before we get into this verse in Jeremiah. You know, what does the word great really mean? You know, we might have an idea what it means. We might think, well, it means big. And that's one definition of the word great. But I looked up this word in the dictionary and it says this. And this, when you apply this to God, you know, just let this enter into your spirits this morning. The word great means to be large, extensive, and to an unusual degree. Considerably more than normal. What a great definition, hey? Considerably more than normal. You know, God has a plan for you that's considerably more than normal. It's a beyond and above. You know, the scripture says this in Ephesians. It says that, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. You know, he has a great plan for us. A plan that is of a large and extensive nature. And to an unusual degree. Wow. Considerably more than above or normal. Above what is normal or average. God is a great God. And he does greater things. Now this verse in Jeremiah tells us that God has got a great plan for us. You know, it's a plan, and it goes on in this verse in Jeremiah 29. Let me read it to you. I know the thoughts or the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. You know, plan of peace. A plan to prosper, as the NIV puts it. You know, a plan to do you good. You know, God's plan for you is to prosper you. Now don't get all excited and head up on that word prosperity. You know, a lot of people, you know, normally when we hear that word, our minds immediately turn to money. And that's because it's the way we've been brought up. We've been brought up in a society and a culture that's money driven. You know, pastor's already mentioned it this morning. You know, there's so many people that place a lot of value on money, on gold. You know, I'm not trying to have a go or knock anybody, so don't get offended, but you see these people, they work 12 to 15 hours a day trying to get money. They try to hold down 2 or 3, 4 jobs because they're craving after money. You know, they're seeking to get all this money and to accumulate all this wealth. You know, and they place so much value on money. And we've already heard, do you know what God thinks of it? How God values money? He said it's good enough to walk on. Good enough, suitable only for walking upon. You know, the streets are paved with the stuff. So little value. You know, actually when we talk about prosperity, money is actually the lowest form of prosperity, because prosperity... Let's just look at some Bible definitions of the word prosperity. In the Greek, in the New Testament, the Greek word that's often translated to prosper is a word, now whether I say this right, I don't know, you'll have to forgive me if you're better at Greek than me. I can read words from out of the dictionary, I might not know how to say them. Is a word that sounds something like euodo. And it literally means to help somebody along the way. To help along the way. Now in the Old Testament there's a word that's often translated as prosperity. Which is a word, now again I don't know whether it's right, but it's something like salak. And that means to advance or push forward. So if we combine those two definitions, this should give us a little understanding of what real prosperity is, according to the scriptures. It's help given to us to advance or push someone forward on their way. You know, and that's just what God does for us. He gives us help to advance us or push us forward on our way with him. Or on our way in his plan and his purpose for us. So it's not just about money. That's just one little aspect of it. Prosperity is about our whole life. Everything we have. God gives us help in order to advance us in every area of our life. Now actually the word in Jeremiah 29 is the word shalom, which is why it's translated peace in many of the older translations. You know, and this word shalom means, yes, it means peace, it means prosperity, but it's talking about wholeness. It's talking about fullness. It's talking about enjoying everything that God has. Wholeness in every area. Yes, in our physical frames. Yes, in our spirits. Yes, it talks about our material things as well. And it's talking about our emotions and our mind. You know, to have peace or prosperity is something far beyond just money. And that's God's plan for us, that we might come to that place where we enjoy a total life prosperity. You know, filled with His fullness, filled with His goodness, filled with all that He has. Every help given to us from Him to advance us and push us forward in His plan and His purpose. A place where we can become complete. You know what peace is? I heard somebody once describe peace as this. Nothing missing. It's fullness, it's wholeness. You know, if you've got something missing, you're not at peace, are you? If you've got a little, if you've got some part of your health missing, you're not at total peace, because there's always something not quite right. If you've not got anything, you're lacking in your finances, you're not at peace. If you're lacking in your spirit, you're not at peace. Peace is having total fullness, total wholeness. And that's what God's plan for us this morning is, to give us His peace and prosperity. But then it goes on and adds to that in that verse in Jeremiah. It says that God's plan for us is to do us good. Good. The only one, John 10 tells us that, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. Just look at those three words. To steal, to take, to kill, to take, to destroy, take. The devil takes, he's on the take, he's a taker. God is a giver. But Jesus said in the next, in that verse, he says, yes, the thief comes to take. He says, but I've come to give life. Life more abundant. An overflowing life, fullness of life. You know, it's not a plan to harm us. It's not a plan to hurt us. You know, how does God protect us from the evil one? You know, there's many scriptures that we can look at, but we haven't got the time this morning. You know, God has broken the chains and fetters by which we can be bound. You know, that was done through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He doesn't allow anything to be put upon us that we cannot bear. Another scripture tells us. He gives us a way out. He's shown us in His word how we're to deal with the devil. He continually gives us revelation so that we remain effective. It's a good plan that God has for us. You know this verse here in the Psalm 100, back to Psalm, sorry Vincent, Ivan. Psalm 107, you know there's about 8 times, I think it's 8 times in this Psalm, maybe not quite as much as that. The psalmist writes these words, he says, oh that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, God's always stretching forth His hand to do us good, to bless us, to minister to us. You know, no wonder the psalmist could say this, you know, oh that man would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, one thing that agitates me, and is that when you talk about God wanting to bless you, there's a lot of people that keep trying to push it off into the future. You know, yeah, it's going to be great when we get to heaven, and it will be. but they seem to push off all the blessings of God to when we get to heaven. Oh, I'm not worthy to be blessed. You know, it's going to be great when we get to heaven, but do you know what the scripture says? Again, it's the psalmist in Psalm 27. He puts it like this. He says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? We've got it on there. Psalm 20. I would have lost heart, the King James puts it. I would have given up. I would have quit my walk with God. That's what that word to lose heart means. It means to, you know, become despondent, to give up, to quit the walk. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Where is that? Heaven's like? Heaven's that great, you're not going to need to have all the blessings that we think of down here. There's no lack in heaven. There's no turmoil in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. We need those blessings now. You're in the land of the living. This is where God wants to bless us. Yes, He's going to bless us when we get to heaven, but we need the blessings now. We won't need them in heaven because everything is... we have a word in English. I don't know. Everything in heaven is hunky-dory. It's great. So thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His blessing. Thank God for His wonderful works towards us. That's part of His plan for you and me today. To do us good. To prosper us and to do us good. Then the verse in Jeremiah goes on. If you're there, just keep that verse up, because I want to go on to verse 14 here. But in Jeremiah it goes on and it says that God's plan for us is to give us hope as well. God's got a plan of hope for us. You know, in this verse here in the Psalms, the next verse from where we were, it says, wait and hope for, or wait for the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. You know what the Amplified Translation puts this, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. You know, we use this word hope too freely today to express something which, in my opinion, is a little bit above doubt. You know, you ask somebody, you know, and I've been had the privilege of being able to minister to quite a few in prayer lines, and, you know, when people come up for prayer, they say, you ask them if they're believing God to touch their lives, and you'll get this response, well, I hope so, brother. That's not faith. That's just wishing something might change. And that's how we often use this word hope, to express a wish. But faith is an expectancy that God is going to do something for you. That God will do something for you. You know, those who come to God, Hebrews tells us, must believe that He is and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He's the rewarder. He's the one that wants to give us hope. If I were to put it like this, don't get offended at me. If I said that very often we treat God a little bit like a lottery or a roulette wheel. You know, yes, we can, or you could throw the dice. It may be God will do it. You know what, God, maybe God will, maybe God won't. Do you think that's faith? Is that trusting what God says in His Word? Just, if God has said something, you know, we can stand upon it. We can say, well, that's what You said, Lord Jesus. That is what You have said. And that's not just hoping and wishing and praying that it might come to pass. You know, it's not like you're gambling on the roulette wheel, or you're gambling on those things. Your chances of winning are very slim, very, very slim. But with God, your chance, well, I don't like even to use the word chance, but with God, you know, it is guaranteed. God said it, He will do it. God always keeps His word. Do you believe it? God always keeps His word. He cannot break His word. And if God has promised you something, you can believe it by faith and receive it. Earnest expectation that He will do for us just what He says in His word. Have you ever been around a lady that's expecting a child? Do you know, can I tell you something about these expectant mothers? They are eagerly awaiting the birth of their baby. And do you know what? Their whole life changes. you know what they start to do? Let me tell you some of the things they start to do. Are you prepared for this, Richie? It starts with something small like a photograph. In actual fact, I don't even think you can call it a photograph. It's a blur. It's a lot of black and grey and black and white lines on a piece of card, and they say, there it is. There it is. Can you see it? And they won't just show you. They're going to show the whole family. They're going to show all their friends. And everybody wants to see this photograph. Then, when it starts to grow, they get great pleasure in telling you a little bit how many weeks, how big the bump's getting. Then they start talking about other things, Richie. Like, that might not apply in your case, but they start talking about preparing the spare bedroom, getting the painting, the decorating done. You know, there's work to be done, there's things to be accumulated, and they're preparing the nursery. Then she starts to go out and mix with other people that are the same as her. She'll go to classes. She'll learn how to breathe. She'll learn how to... She'll learn how to conduct herself. But you know what she's doing? She's expecting. She's preparing herself for motherhood. She's preparing herself to give birth. And do you know what? That type of expectancy we should bring into our faith. So that we're talking about our blessing. We're talking about our miracle. We're talking about what God is going to do for us. Amen. Because that's expectancy. That's hope. That's real Bible hope. Rather than just, she doesn't say, well, I wish it would be born. I wish it would grow. Now she knows it's growing. She knows it's going to be birthed. Her whole language, her whole life revolves around that little baby. About giving birth. She's preparing. And that type of earnest expectation soon sees the manifestation of what God wants to do for us. When we start talking like that, and we start believing like that, and we start living like that, that God is about to do something good for us. But that just brings me on to my final part of that verse. It says that God's plan for us is to give us a future. A future. You know, God's got a good future for us. Amen? It's a future that's certain. A future that's secured. You know, the Bible says it like this. And I like this. It says that it hasn't even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But then it goes, you know, that's scripture there. I can't quite think where it comes from at the moment, but eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You know, and a lot of people stop there, but that verse goes on. It says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. God has revealed them to us. You know, look it up. Get a concordance and look it up, that scripture. You know, God has got something good prepared for us, and he's shown us what it is through Jesus. Now, those of you from the UK will appreciate this. If you're Maltese, you may not understand what I'm going to say now, but you'll have to forgive me. You know, a few years ago, there was a commercial on the TV, and the company's still going. And they used to say, you'll know this, when their tagline on their advert was this, the future's bright, the future's
orange.
The future's orange. No, not with God. It may not be orange, but it certainly is certain, and it's a good future. You know, the future is as bright as what God has promised you. Do you know that? The future's bright as the promises of God. Now, orange is a bright colour. For those of you that don't know, Orange is a mobile phone network in the UK. The future's bright with God. Hallelujah. You know, the Christian future is a good one. For those that have accepted Jesus into their hearts and lives, those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's a great future. But for those of you that may not have experienced that, your future is not a good one. The future, the Bible talks about those whose names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, on the day when God opens the books, then he looks, searches the books for the name. If your name's not found in that book, the Bible says that they are cast out of heaven and thrown into the lake of fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Not a good future. But you can change that today. You can change that future by receiving Jesus into your heart and into your life. You can change it. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then everything changes. Your future becomes your immediate future, your life here on earth. Well, the Bible has given us, I think it's approximately 7,000 promises. That's a lot. 7,000 promises. I think that's somewhere I read once, that's where it was. And Peter calls them in his letter. He writes in his letter, he says that these promises are exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, and it's through these. It says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You know, through these promises you can be a partaker of God's divine nature. You can live out your future, a glorious future, a bright future, a great future here on earth. All you've got to do is trust his promises, believe his promises. You know, God has a greater plan for you and me. A plan that contains everything you and I need for life and service to God. And that plan can be found in these promises that Peter writes about, in his word. Extremely precious, great and precious promises. You know, believe them, read them, find a promise from God and start believing it. And see what God will do for you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Shalom.
Peace
of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. I put that up here for about the benediction. I'm going to give you the benediction. I said that, by the way, to use the next letters, I heard from Benedict, come